Heather is one of our pastors here on staff. She is our director of HR and membership. And Heather is a part of the team that brings leadership and oversight to Matthew 25 Project. So she's going to be walking with us, highlighting Matthew 25. And so welcome her.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's really good to see you. I first heard about Matthew 25 Project about a year ago. Now, at that time, it didn't have a name yet, but there was this prompting from the Lord for Pastor Matt, and he felt the Lord was saying, it is time for Worship Center to purposefully take a step in looking outside of our doors, being more outward focused, being more kingdom focused, to align with what God is doing in the kingdom. So in the kingdom of God, Jesus is king. He rules and he reigns. He has the ultimate authority. And our role is we submit to that kingship. Matthew 25 Project is a focused effort to align our church with God's kingdom. We officially began Matthew 25 Project last fall, and we had this goal. This goal is to give away $2 million in 2 years. Not one penny of it stays here at Worship Center. It all goes out to kingdom initiatives. Not only are we committed to fiscal generosity, but we're also committed to being generous with our time, to serving and giving and volunteering for his kingdom. So we are focused on two things. We are focused on elevating the word of God, and we are focused on upholding the sanctity of human life. Today, we'll give an update on impact and investment and what's next in the Matthew 25 Project. In Matthew, Jesus gives famously the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon or series of sermon, he is explaining his kingdom. So we're going to read a little bit from Matthew 5. We're going to start at verse 13. And just remember, this is Jesus teaching us what it's like to be in his kingdom, to live in his kingdom. I'm going to start at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Do you catch what Jesus is saying here? Invisible light would have been pretty much useless to the ancient Galileans. Light is not meant to be invisible. It's not meant to be hidden. Light is meant to be seen. If you want to write this down, you can. Jesus speaking of light and salt, this is a call to active participation in his kingdom. We are not saved by good works, but we are certainly called to do good works. He continues in verse 16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This call to participation is certainly not so that we can get glory. It's not so we can say like, oh man, Pastor Matt is so great, or wow, look at what Worship Center is up to. That's not why there's this call for participation. The purpose is for people to say, wow, look at what the Lord has done, and to give him praise and to give him glory. So today we're gonna do just that. We are gonna be spending some time looking at what the Lord has done. We're going to give him praise. We're going to give him glory. We want to say, to God be the glory. This is what he has done. So God, we are so very thankful. We're thankful that we have a king to follow, that you're on the throne, that you hold all things in your hand. God, I pray today as we hear stories of what you are doing, that our hearts would be in awe of who you are. That we would be reminded of your goodness, of your greatness. That our hearts would be even more aligned and knitted to your kingdom. God, I thank you that you allow us to be part of advancing your kingdom. We're so very grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. So our service today will look a little different. Instead of having one speaker, for the majority of the service, we're going to hear from several different people. We're going to hear from a member of our board who's going to walk us through sort of the nuts and bolts, the actual dollars of what has come in and where it has gone to, how those monies have been spent. We're going to hear from Julie from Align Life Ministries. She's going to give an update on the impact that funds and volunteering has made there. We're going to hear from Sarah Miller from Keystone Family Alliance to hear about the impact and what has been able to be accomplished through the Matthew 25 project. Then we're gonna hear from Carl and Fansmucker. They're a longtime members of Worship Center. They're gonna share about their experience being a neighboring family with Bridge of Hope Ministries. You know, I'm really excited about that because I think it's a beautiful picture of what it looks like for the body of Christ to work together. There are multiple times in scripture where the church is referred to as a body. I wanna read quickly from 1 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul is giving this example. This is one whole body with many individual parts that are working together to advance the kingdom. I'm going to start in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I'm going to jump to verse 27. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part in it. You know what jumps out to me when I read that? You can write this down if you want. There is not an option. There is simply not an option to consider ourselves unnecessary or unneeded in the body of Christ. You are needed and you are necessary. When Pastor Matt sensed the Holy Spirit leading us to a church-wide effort for Worship Center to be more kingdom focused. It wasn't for this building to be more kingdom focused. It wasn't for our logo to be more kingdom focused. That's ridiculous, right? It's for the people who are in this room and the people who are watching online and the people who consider Worship Center their home church is for each of us to be more kingdom focused. It's a call to ask the Holy Spirit, what is my part in this? And to act accordingly. And I'll tell you what, your response has been incredible. The last time I checked, nearly 600 individual giving units. So my husband, Bo, and I, we are considered one giving unit. Nearly 600 individual giving units have given to the Matthew 25 project. I don't have a specific number on how many people have volunteered or have given their time, but I know that so, so many have. We are truly so very, very grateful for what the Lord has done. We're going to transition here, and we're going to hear tangible stories of the investment, the impact, and what the Lord has done. So I'm going to ask Tony Lombardi to come to the stage. Tony is on our board here at Worship Center. He is on the Matthew 25 project team, and he's going to give us an update. Could you please welcome Tony?
Thank you, Heather. I think you said so much of that so well. Thank you. The pleasure to be here with you this morning. Good morning. I think it is still morning. So yes, it's a pleasure to be here to give you an update on some of the more practical sides of the Matthew 25 project. I want to give a shout out to the project team. The project team consists of myself and Sue Drasba from the board, William Torres, of course, Heather, and Lisa Weaver from the staff. And we've had a whole host of other folks, staff, board, and staff and board as well to get us to this point in the project where we are. So lots of contributors, great example of the body working to one vision. So as Jesus followers, we're called to demonstrate Jesus' love, his compassion, his faithfulness, his kindness, and to do that with a sense of urgency. And that's what we're all about in the Matthew 25 project. In Matthew 25, there is the parable of the talents, where the slaves are given different bags of money to do something with. And the one who gets the five bags, as the story goes, he says he received that bag of five talents and right away got to work. And so he demonstrated a sense of urgency there that is really important. And so that's really what we want to do here as well. We are a five-bag church, and we've said that throughout the Matthew 25 project. So we're looking to invest in the kingdom, getting to work to do that. And so we're grateful for that. So Heather mentioned the $2 million in 2 years, and if you want to put that up. So far, we have over $1 million. So in 5 months, from September to now, we're over 50% of that $2 million goal for 2 years. So we're really excited as to where the Lord is taking this, and just looking forward to really how he will continue to provide. For me, one of my learnings, and I'll say again, is how the Lord does more than we can ask or imagine. And we didn't imagine this, we didn't ask this at this pace, but we're just thrilled to see what the Lord has done through you folks and through what Matt has called us and challenged us to be kingdom driven generous. So on this slide, this is about where we have given the money so far and what our plans are to give through the rest of this fiscal year. I say fiscal, really a Matthew 25 year. We started in September. So from September to August, this is the intent for us to be giving. You'll hear from Align and from Keystone here in a few minutes. They're at the top of this chart. Bridge of Hope is a homeless housing ministry, and we're contributing for them in paying for housing starts, and so for units that people who are homeless could move into and learn how to become independent. We have Illuminations, which is a Bible translation ministry, and so we've committed to translate an entire Bible in a language that's only spoken in the southern part of Thailand amongst Muslim folks. When this is complete, 3.5 million people will have the written word in their own language. And so we're just thrilled what that will bring. We're thrilled about what that will bring, and that's been kicked off. They've already started. We've heard different stories from people who are involved in that translation, and they can certainly use your prayer, because being a Muslim community, it's not the easiest thing for them to do to contribute to this translation. We also have CVCCS Seeds. That's a Conestoga Valley ministry. So it's education, housing, food for people in this community. We've supported Seeds for a few years at least, and we've decided to include them into the Matthew 25 project. And the same with Pack Hope, which is a crew ministry. Unto is the name of the ministry that we packed this church back in the fall with a whole bunch of people who then packed packages of rice and grains to send overseas. And you'll hear Heather will talk a little bit more about that later. So that's another great ministry. And then WIPA for Jesus, and I have to pronounce that correctly. WIPA! By the way, that's about as expressive as I get, okay? So what WIPA does is they have it's a ministry run by a couple of couples here at Worship Center. They have a food truck, and they take that food truck to homeless folks in Lancaster. They do some other work, but when they give out the food to the homeless folks, the food is free, and they're also prayed for. So it's just a great ministry. We spent some time with them this week. It was just a wonderful time. We did give them a gift earlier, before the end of the year, and we're evaluating now how much do we want to get together with WIPA and support them going forward. So what you'll notice here is that if you look at the end amount of money, it's less than the $1 million that the Lord challenged us with. So right now we're interviewing other ministries to see who else we can invest in to expand the kingdom. We're talking with our existing partners to say, what else can we do for you going forward? So you'll see more of this happening as time goes on, and we're currently meeting and making those decisions as we speak. Encourage you to continue to pray. This doesn't happen just because some of us stand up here and we're part of a team. This happens because the Lord works, and he works in you and through you. So please continue praying. Sue Drasba leads a prayer meeting on the second Sunday of every month in the prayer room in between services. You can just go there or let Sue know that you want to go there. Either way, certainly welcome you to participate in that and be part of the larger prayer ministry around Matthew 25. And so go to the website. On the website are ways that you can give. There are ways that you can volunteer. Heather mentioned some of the volunteering. It's been an incredible blessing, and we don't know the numbers, but we know that lots and lots of people have already stepped up to be part of the ministries that we're partnering with right now. So thank you very much. We appreciate everything about this. If you have any questions about how we're doing this, don't hesitate to speak to me or one of the members of the team. Thank you.
Thank you. I enjoyed Wild Weppa, Tony. We'll look forward to hearing more updates from you. All right, our friends, we are going to invite Julie and Sarah to the stage. Julie is representing Align Life Ministries, and Sarah is representing Keystone Family Alliance. And they're going to share direct impact stories, let us know updates of what has been happening, ways to get involved. So we'll hear from Julie first.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to see you. So good to be here again. Thank you so much for welcoming us back. My name is Julie Baum, and I work with churches and supporters on behalf of Align. And I bring you good news and heartfelt, sincere thanks from all of us at Align, from all of our clients, for all the ways that you have poured out your support on the mission that we have. We exist to align with God, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to champion the sacredness of human life through pregnancy services, strategic partnerships, and equipping resources. And we have felt God's Herculean strong arms of support through you at Align. So thank you. I just want to share a couple of examples. So for example, your baby supply drive, historic. Like God through you has wiped out our need for diapers of any size for the next several months. You have blessed our clients so much, and there are many baby bottoms that are covered nice and dry. Thank you so much for that. Also, you have given toward our renovations of the new location that we have in Columbia. That was the strip club that God led us to buy. And the demolition is almost done of the interior part, and there's some asbestos remediation that needs to happen. And then the renovations will begin, and we're hoping that we can move in there in October or September even of this year. So that's very, very exciting. Thank you for that. And then the ultrasound machine. You bought our Lebanon location, which is our busiest center. You bought us a new ultrasound machine. It's our busiest center, and we had the oldest machine there that had not yet been replaced. So I want to show you. We have a picture. This is Amanda. She is the director of our Align Pregnancy Services Lebanon. That's Sarah in the middle. She is our nurse sonographer. She does ultrasounds at all of our locations. And that is the machine that you bought us, and the tables and all the attachments that go with it in the screen. And it was delivered last fall. It was installed on November 5th, and we started serving clients with it the week after that. I am very pleased to tell you that we have performed 20 scans so far on women who are abortion vulnerable or abortion determined. And of those 20, 18 have solidly decided to choose life for their babies. Praise praise the Lord for those little lives. And the other two are still undecided. So one of them had solidly chosen life before Christmas, and then some circumstances happened in her family. She came back, just called us and said, I'm not so sure I can actually go through with this. But instead of calling someone for abortion, she called us and said, can I come back in and talk? And so she's coming in soon. We're so very thankful. So please pray for her. And the other young mom, she came in and she's just like, I cannot have this baby. I cannot have this baby. And she had an ultrasound and with her, and talking with her at the end of her appointment, she said, would you please send my report to my OB? I do have an appointment coming up. So we're very hopeful about that. So hopefully we will have 20 babies saved that God has allowed us friends to be a part of. So thank you for that. And our nurse, Sarah, wants you to know the machine is great. She says it's easy to use and the pictures are so clear. And we just did an ultrasound on a couple last week. I want to show you what they saw. This is their little 9-week baby. Sarah said that the baby was moving, wiggling, kicking her legs, and it's so clear what the parents can see, much more so than our old machine. And the parents kept saying, it's already a whole baby. I didn't think we would see this much. And so we also know of one new mom and dad who recently accepted Jesus as their savior after the ultrasound. So thank you, thank you. Your help and your generosity, friends, like, it is reverberating through the kingdom. Our God is a God of redemption. He's pouring out his love on our clients through you, and they are choosing life and choosing him. So thank you. God bless you so much.
Wow, look what God is doing through you and through Align. How incredible. I'm Sarah, I'm from Keystone Family Alliance, and I just want to say thank you for your generosity, for your willingness to step in. It is having real, measurable impact on families and vulnerable children who have experienced abuse or neglect and are now caught up in the child welfare system. Right now, there are 28 families who are receiving the support of a care community, walking alongside them on their foster care journey, and we have trained two volunteer leaders, Martha Stoltzfus and Ariana Kenny, to be able to lead the ministry from within the worship center. We've also trained 16 worship center volunteers to walk alongside foster families, providing meals, childcare, and prayer support. And we're in the final stages of hiring another assistant county coordinator, which will allow us to multiply our impact, support more families, and continue to usher the church into the child welfare space. I'm so excited, we were able to hire a regional equipping educator who is providing free trauma-informed trainings for families who are caring for kids from hard places, as well as training schools and children's ministries on how to welcome and love those kids. We also just transitioned to a new, more effective platform for meeting urgent, critical needs within our community. It's called NeedBridge. Recently, Lancaster County Children and Youth reached out to us and told us that there was a 7-year-old with significant disabilities who had just lost his mother and was at risk of entering the foster care system. His father loved him and was caring for him, but because of circumstances outside their control, their apartment was being sold and they really needed money for rent and a security deposit if they were going to be able to maintain housing and therefore stay together. If they became homeless, the county would be forced to take custody of the child and he would be placed into a foster home or an institution. So this is the kind of real needs we're seeing, and we posted that on NeedBridge, and because of the church, that family was able to stay together. So this is the kind of impact we're talking about, preventing kids from entering the system when they don't need to be there. Today, there's 7 needs sitting on NeedBridge for things like baby clothes, Uber gift cards, and mold remediation to make a home a safe place. This is a platform we're using to be able to invite the church in. And these aren't statistics that are changing. These are local families who are experiencing the love of Jesus through the movement of the church. And every time a church steps in and says yes, a family is stabilized and children remain safe. So thank you for being part of that movement. And I want to give you one more picture of the way that you guys are working. The first care community built at Worship Center, one of many more to come, I'm confident, was built entirely from one small group who decided to say yes together to caring for a local family. This is an unchurched family who stepped in to care for a relative, and they got a phone call that nobody expects to get. There's a child in your family who needs a safe home. Will you be their safe place? And they said yes. And because of your church, they're no longer saying yes alone. They're saying yes with the support of a community that's providing meals and prayer and carrying them along. And most importantly, these children who are in this home, who probably would have never stepped foot in a church building, are experiencing the love of Jesus because the people of Jesus are coming to meet them right where they're at. And that is the gospel made visible. I keep hearing God telling me, like, I am coming for every single one of these vulnerable kids that are caught up in this system. For the 300 kids in your Lancaster County Child Welfare System, I'm coming for each one of them. And to be able to see him do that and bring that about through you is incredible. There are 28 families that are being supported by care communities, and we're just getting started. We have a goal that there will be 250 care communities supporting 250 families because we think that's what it's going to take for there to be a foster home for every child and no more kids growing up in institutions. So wherever your small group meets, wherever you live, this is kind of personal because there's probably a family in your neighborhood who has done the brave thing and has said yes to stretching their time, their home, their hearts to welcome a child in. And what they need is their neighbors, the body of Christ, to step in and carry them along on that path. So you might feel led to step in either individually or as a small group if you want to join a care community, or maybe you just feel like you are called to meet that one simple need on NeedBridge that keeps a family together this week. Maybe you're even called to do the brave thing of welcoming a child into your home. Of course, obviously, your church would love to do that alongside of you. And we are looking for one more person to help Ariana and Martha lead this ministry from within the church. So if you feel the stirring that, you know, God is calling you to care for the vulnerable, you can find me in the lobby after the service or go to the Worship Center's website. But really what I want to say to you guys is thank you for being a church that does not just talk about love and the love of Christ and experience the love of Christ for yourself, but being a church that lives out that love for the vulnerable kids and families in your community.
Thank you so much, you guys. If you want to find out more, both Julie and Sarah will be in Center Square after the service, and they would love to chat with you there. All right, let's welcome Carl and Fan Smucker to the stage as they come to share about... Yeah, go ahead, welcome them. They're going to share about their experience as a neighboring family, part of Bridge of Hope. So we're so excited to hear from you.
Thank you, Heather. I was born into an Amish family with a name like Fanny. Yeah, Carl's family had Amish roots as well. And although both of our families left the church when we were young, that heritage has shaped us deeply. One thing that the Amish understand well is community. They value the intergenerational family. They know how to show up for one another. They instinctively see a need and they just do something. When there's an illness or a serious accident, which we've experienced in the past, meals arrive at the doorstep, people help out with household needs, work gets done. And for me personally, this is a way that my background positively affected me. When a new baby arrives, this is such a cool tradition, sisters, mothers, grandmothers show up. And for me, my mom, I remember the deep sense of comfort after each of my four children were born. She would come and she would spend the first three nights with me and my new baby. And she did this for my sisters as well. And now I continue that tradition with my daughters. Very grateful for those parts of community in our past. And Carl, could you share something from yours too as well?
Sure. The joy of helping others. My father taught us kids, there's eight of us, he taught us the joy of helping others. He did many, many things throughout his life that taught us that. We were raised in Southern Lancaster County on a large farm with a very small house. There was eight kids. Four of us boys slept in one room with a double bed. Don't get a visual on that one. It was not pretty sight, but that was the way we were raised. Very small house, but my father was always giving. We were very poor. And one of the things he did is we had a 100-acre farm. He took 1 acre, and the church helped us, and we raised produce on that acre, which we took to Barry Mission in New York City. A lot of people did that in the 60s. And a few times a year, my father would arrange for a bus load of people from the church, and of course, his whole family. And we would go to Barry Mission, and we would make soup with these vegetables, and we'd hand out socks and do, you know, sing and try and minister to the men there at the mission. Where the story gets interesting is there was almost always more people that came back on that bus than went. And that's because my dad would, he would befriend these alcoholics, these, my mom would call them poor souls, he would befriend these guys and he would say, hey, come live with us in the country in Pennsylvania. They're living on the streets in New York. They came. And for the first 10 years of my life, I thought it was normal to have men living in the attic. Anywhere from a month to 5 years. I kid you not. I'm standing on this platform at a church. I wouldn't lie here. They lived with us. And I thought it was normal. And until I went to school and I was asking my friends, hey, who do you have in your attic? And they're like, we don't have anyone in our attic. I'm like, you don't have anyone in your attic. What do you do with your attic space? But anyway, he did that and many, many things. And so my dad's philosophy was, I'll throw a little sermon in here because Matt's not preaching this morning. Here's my 30-second feeble attempt at preaching. We all say, come to Jesus as you are. Come on, come. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Doesn't matter what shape you're in. Come to Jesus. Now, if you want to come to our house, let me run some background checks on you. Let me check you out a little bit. That wasn't my dad. My dad was like, come to our house and live in this small house with eight kids. And by golly, I'll show you Jesus. Come to my house first. I'll bring you to Jesus. That was his philosophy. Quite a challenge. I'll give it back to my wife.
Well, you can tell that growing up in that environment certainly has left a mark on us. And I realize that it's pretty rare. So let's imagine now the opposite. Picture a young single mom who's raising children all alone, no nearby family, no built-in support. She's working every day, she's paying for daycare, barely keeping up. Her child gets sick, she misses work. That job is now at risk. Rent becomes impossible. And suddenly, she's facing homelessness. Without community, one crisis, just one crisis, can unravel everything. That is such a lonely and terrifying place for a young woman to be. What she needs most is not just money. She needs people. She needs a community. She needs what I like to call social capital. It's a safety net, it's relationships. And that's where Bridge of Hope comes in. Bridge of Hope is a Christian ministry that partners with local churches and it walks alongside these families that are going through homelessness. And most often that is single young moms with small children. a small group of 6 to 10 people from a church or from an area become what's called a neighboring family. And that commitment is usually 12 to 18 months. Within that, there's also a professional caseworker, so you don't do it alone. The caseworker helps with housing, budgeting, goal setting. But the neighboring family provides something that I think is just as important. That's the relationship, the friendship, encouragement, practical help, and consistency, just being there. Carl and I said yes a few years ago to being part of a neighboring family, and we initially saw it as a way to give back at this season of our lives, for to whom much is given, much is required. And each one of us within that group, we offered something different. Sometimes one of us ladies could babysit for the children. Sometimes we brought meals when they were sick, or we helped meal prep during maybe an especially busy season. The guys fixed things around the house. Carl hung some wall art, or some of them helped assemble furniture. No one person carries this whole load. We just simply showed up, each one of us, with what we had. And in our case, something really beautiful happened, maybe a bit unexpected. Somewhere along the way, our neighboring mom stopped being a mom in the program, and she became like our family. She's become our friend. Our official commitment has since ended, but this relationship has not. She's literally our neighbor. She lives just a few miles away from us, and we celebrate her kids' birthdays together. She sends us pictures of her growing kids, and we have a text thread. We just do life. And I can't promise that every single experience with a Bridge of Hope family ends or looks like this exactly, because sometimes personalities and temperaments within a group don't mesh, or there's just can be lots of reasons. But don't let the fear of something not turning out be the reason you don't get involved. Because we can all say this with absolute certainty, that God's heart is clearly for families who are vulnerable and alone. And if we say we value life, if we say we value family, this is a tangible way to live that out. And it's not in theory, it's in relationship. It's not complicated, it's really not. I don't have to be an expert. I don't have to be extraordinary. I don't have to solve homelessness. I just need a willing heart and a circle of people to walk alongside. I can show up, I can bring who I am, and that's enough. Sometimes the most powerful thing that we can offer someone is community. And I think that's what our church has been called to do. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carl and Fan. If you are in a small group and you're interested in being part of a neighboring family, or if you're not in a small group, but you're like, hey, I'd love to find out more about that. We can get you connected. We can certainly help with that. It's really, really wonderful. So I hope your heart has been encouraged today hearing these stories of what the Lord has done. Hope that your heart has moved a little bit closer to Him and His kingdom and the possibilities that await. I want to share a few more updates. Tony had mentioned that we partnered with Unto through Pack Hope back in early December, and here's an update. Your church packed an incredible number of meals in December, and I'm happy to share that they are en route now to the Middle East. When churches like yours pack meals, sometimes it can take several months until they get loaded onto a shipping container and on their way to missionaries and partners in the field. However, the region where your meals are being sent, are in desperate need of food. And those meals actually left Unto's Global Logistics Center on December 23rd, just 2 weeks after the meals were packed. Our prayer is that the meals will arrive at their destination by mid-March. Will you join us in praying for the transit of these meals? We most certainly will. I look forward to letting you know when the meals have arrived, and even more so, how the meals are making an incredible impact in the toughest places, opening doors for the gospel and the love of Christ. And then this update is from CV Seeds. Over this past holiday season, Seeds, in collaboration with the CV social workers, when we say CV, we're talking about Conestoga Valley, the school district worship center's in, was able to offer holiday support to in three different ways to our neighbors. While the needs within our community are large, we looked at who we could walk alongside during this holiday season in a tangible way. All of the families who received holiday support are families who are utilizing either the Power Packs or Weekend Blessing programs because of food insecurity, or they are part of the foster care system or are homeless. 143 different families with 306 kiddos were served through the holiday support program this year. The generosity from Worship Center focused on gifts for the families who are homeless and living in nearby hotels. Each of those kiddos created a wish list, and we used the funds given to help to purchase items on their wish list. The families were then invited to our Seed space to share a meal that was provided for them, and the parents could wrap gifts while the children played in our childcare area. We were able to provide lots of fun wrapping paper, bows, and tags for each parent to personalize and have fun wrapping gifts for their children. Each family also had the surprise of being gifted a $100 gift card to a local grocery store. As I walked the parents into the back room with the pile of gifts purchased for their children were stacked by their children's name, there were tears. Hugs, surprise, and the love of Jesus and the kindness of our community was tangibly felt. When they saw the extra gift of the grocery gift card, there was surprise, there was relief, and there were more hugs. Matthew 25 Project is a focused effort to align our church with God's kingdom. Jesus says this in Matthew 25. I'm going to start reading at verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. The king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You know, not long after we started the Matthew 25 Project, I noticed on my nightstand there was this little pile of money, and there was a post-it note on it, and it just said Matthew 25. One of our teenagers had put it there. And so I asked them, you know, they're a teenager, they work a part-time job. I said, why did you give to Matthew 25? And they said, you know, Mom, I don't actually have a lot of needs right now. And I know that there are people who do have a lot of needs. So I thought I should probably just give my money to them. At the beginning of this and throughout the Matthew 25 Project, Pastor Matt has asked a question. He said, what is in your hand? How can you take that and use it to advance the kingdom of God? So that is a challenge for each of us, right? To ask ourselves, what's in our hand? And how can we use it to advance the kingdom of God? I'm going to invite you to go to the Matthew 25 page on our website. On there, you can find all kinds of ways to get involved with serving in our community. You can find, there's a link to, Sarah was talking about the part which said tangible needs this week for kids who are in foster care. You can find out how to serve, how to volunteer. There's a spot to give. I encourage you to check that out. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand, and we're going to take some time, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for that mom from Align, for the families in foster care, that those meals would arrive by mid-March, those kiddos in CV. And we're going to thank the Lord for what he's done. So God, we're so very, very grateful. Thank you for the work that you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you continue to do. God, I pray for that mom at Align who was choosing to have our baby, but then circumstances came up and now she's not sure. God, I ask that you would provide her for her needs. Pray that you would give her peace of heart and mind. God, I pray for her conversation with the people at Align, that she would be encouraged. That she would know she's not alone, that there's support for her. And God, we ask that she would choose life. God, we know that your plans for that mom and for that baby are good. We're so thankful for that. God, we pray for the families who are in foster care. We pray for the parents who aren't able to take care of their kids right now. God, I pray that you encourage them heart and mind. Pray that they would be encouraged to know that their kids are in good, safe homes. I pray for those homes, God. People have said, yes, you can live here. God, I'm sure that many times that can feel so chaotic. And we just ask that your peace would reign in those homes. That kids would see what it looks like to live in peace, to live with stability, to be provided for. God, I pray that ultimately those kids would see that there's a good God who cares about them, who loves them. God, thank you so much. God, I pray for what Sarah mentioned. I pray that every single one of the 250 kids in foster care would have a home. And God, I pray for each of those kids and homes that they would have a family or a group that comes around them and supports, befriends, helps, and points them to Jesus. God, I thank you for every single meal that's on its way to the Middle East. God, I pray that it would arrive in quick time, that it would arrive by the targeted date of mid-March. God, I pray that the ships would have smooth sailing, that the in-country transport would be, that nothing would stop it, that nothing would get in the way or hinder it, but that the food could get to the people who need it in the right time. God, I pray for each person who receives food. I pray that they will experience your love through that food. God, I thank you for the kids in CV. Thank you specifically for the kids who were able to take part in the holiday program. I pray for those families. God, I pray that you would encourage them even today. I pray that they would know that they are loved and known by you. Your plans for them are good. God, we're so grateful that there's a kingdom and you're the king. We get to live in that. God, I pray that you would continue to show us how we can align our hearts, our actions with your kingdom. We're so very grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. And guys, thanks for being here today. Thanks for hearing all these stories. It's so good to hear what the Lord has done. I know I was encouraged. I hope you are too. I want to give you a couple of reminders. If you are a young adult, 18 to 30, there's a room right there for you. People are standing there. I see them right now. They're waiting to greet you, to meet you, to help you get connected here at church. If you are new to Worship Center, if you have any questions, you want to get connected, you can go right back there. There's a room called Connections. People would love to answer your questions. If you have any need, the prayer team will be down front. We would love to pray for you. I want to remind you that both Julie and Sarah will be out in Center Square. You can race them. See if you get there first. They would love to meet with you and talk with you, answer any questions. And tonight, 6 p.m., come back here, First Love Worship Night. We'll see you then. Have a great day. Bye.